Hi, and welcome back to the Mindful Sport Performance Podcast. I am Dr. Keith Kaufman, and I am flying solo today, but am very, very excited to have with us Tony Marzukowicz. Tony serves as the Georgetown University Chaplain for Athletics and the Senior Advisor of the Georgetown John Main Center for Meditation and Interreligious Dialogue. Prior to his current positions, Tony served as a member of the Carmelite Order as a brother and priest for 15 years, including 5 years as president of Mount Carmel High School in Chicago, Illinois. Tony has over 20 years of ministerial and leadership experience in K-12 public and private schools, parishes, retreat centers, and prisons. He received his undergraduate degree from Yale University and received his master's in divinity degree from the Washington Theological Union. He is a trained spiritual director, mediator, and Enneagram facilitator, and also holds certificates in Carmelite studies, the spiritual exercises, and nonprofit management. So thank you so much, Tony, for joining us today. I'm very, very excited to speak with you on what I think will be a very interesting topic.
Well, thank you, Keith. It's a pleasure to be with you and look forward to our chat now.
Oh, great. And you were kind enough to say that you would just start us off by leading a brief practice, just to kind of orient us to our discussion today.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, thanks again for asking.
Sure.
So just for our listeners, I'll just invite you in the space that you're in, if that's comfortable, or find maybe another space close by, just to be able to center down and just take a few moments of presence and stillness, if you will. And so maybe any final movements you want to make prior to our, just maybe about a 2 minute centering down practice. Any final movements I invite you to make? If you want to let your eyes gently go on close, if that's comfortable for you, our body's relaxed, but alert. Just trying to be as still as possible. And if you have a word or a phrase, maybe it's something, a word like hope or joy, or maybe it has a spiritual facet to it, I invite you to choose that word or phrase. Maybe it's just simply your breath. And then during the next 2 minutes, just invite you to repeat that word or phrase. Just go back to your breath from the beginning to the end. And noticing when we're distracted, either from the past or the future, just come back to that word, back to that phrase, back to your breath. And return back is to the here and now, to the space of being. So I'll ring the bell now to invite us into the practice and then invite us out in 2 minutes. As we bring our centering down practice to a close, just take a moment here of gratitude for the time and the space. Just simply to be, to practice this muscle of being, if you will. And then when you're ready, invite you to gently, if your eyes are closed, maybe open your eyes, return back to the space and continue with what the day will bring and what you may bring to this day.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate that.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I was thinking, you know, I love having our guests do different practices, and we've seen so many different neat practices over the course of doing this podcast. I think that's the first time we've had a period of silence. And so that's so interesting to do it in a podcast space. You know, I wonder what that would be like for our listeners. It's like, oh, cool, 2 minutes of quiet. I don't usually get that on a podcast.
Yeah, Keith, thank you. That's the unique space that I'm often in, even in my role as chaplain for athletics at Georgetown, where there are times when I sit in simple, non-discursive, if you will, silence and practice to invite people to center down, to stillness, and then other times where, yes, very much a guided, discursive meditation, and really, again, inviting those who are with me, or, you know, myself as well, just to right, to find that stillness, that center point. And I'm just fascinated how there's many ways into it. But yes, sometimes the silence is deafening, if you will. I often will ask the teams or coaches or staff that I'm working with, like, what fits you today? What do you need today? You know, would you like a more non-discursive practice, or do you need kind of the guidance through? So hopefully it was okay for those who were just sort of thrown into the silence.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I think it is such a great parallel to, you know, the chaos of sports, you know, to just be able to invite some silence into a world like that. It is such a fascinating juxtaposition. So why not a podcast space, right? That it's interesting too. I mean, we think about podcasts as talking and action and listening and engaging, and to just say, nope, we're going to start off by a few minutes of silence. It's a powerful contrast.
Yeah, absolutely. And the podcast as a space, right? If let's say even just whether it's a non-discursive or discursive practice, right? I mean, right, the hope is that we are on this journey towards being, right? And so in some ways it's someone in actives, right? The podcast, and I imagine many of our listeners are either maybe on the treadmill, or, you know, going for a jog, or en route to work, or wherever they're sort of ongoing somewhere. And in the midst of that, you know, almost a space to just sort of be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, candidly, you've been on our short list for a long time as someone we've wanted to talk to on our podcast because of the really interesting space that you inhabit. I'd love to kind of talk about some of that and some of what you face and the work that you do. And maybe a good place to start is just to share a little bit with our listeners about what your role looks like, because it is so unique at a university like Georgetown. What your day to day is like?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Keith. It is. It's a very unique opportunity. It really came. This is our third year of this position. It came out of the generosity of the Calcagnini family. You know, been very generous to Georgetown over the years, and President Jack DeGioia and our VP for Mission Ministry Father Mark Bosco really saw the need, and along with our athletic director, Lee Reed, for the space to really connect in some ways our athletic department with our Office of Mission and Ministry in the larger context of the university. So, you know, Georgetown's a Christian, Catholic, Jesuit home open to all. And I really like that. Again, while Georgetown comes out of a certain charism, a certain spirituality, that spirituality is open to all. And so it's a gift that out of our Office of Mission and Ministry, there is then this position in that's housed in athletics to really to accompany our coaches, our staff, our student athletes with, in some ways, we talk about authentic human flourishing. And so it's when I first came on board 3 years ago, our Lee Reed, the athletic director, said, look, I really want you to accompany our coaches and staff, you know, another care for the caretakers, you know, in terms of. You mentioned the chaos of athletics, right? And so much of the busyness and the intensity, and particularly now the challenges that we're living with day to day, and just the intensity of just a single decision and the ramifications of that. And so was invited to really walk with our coaches and staff and then, you know, with our student athletes as well, in terms of whether it's spiritual accompaniment, whether it's walking alongside them on a, let's say a week-long retreat that's virtual, meeting with them for maybe 30 minutes a day. Maybe it's providing a meditation for a team or our student athlete advisory committee or our or coaches and staff. I mean, there's a lot of sort of different spaces in which I show up in, but it's particularly to help really in some ways connect our athletic department with the larger mission of Georgetown and particularly the mission of authentic human flourishing.
Yeah. Oh, it's such an interesting bridge and it's cool. I actually didn't realize that you guys are 3 years in. And I guess I'm so curious, like how it's developed, you know, I guess in coming more from my world, I have a model. Okay. If a sports psychologist, for example, is embedded in an athletics department at a university, you know, it takes time to build a program, to build trust. And usually, at least in my experience, it might start, you know, with, you know, making inroads with a couple of particular teams or a couple of particular coaches and kind of expanding from there. And yeah, I'm sort of curious what your journey has been like in that regard. Have you found a lot of openness? Have you found kind of equality across sports in terms of folks using your services or reaching out to you or integrating you into what they're doing? Or has it been more kind of piecemeal with different teams?
Yeah, Keith, great question. I think maybe the word that's coming up for me as part of Georgetown's mission is cura personalis, and that's the care of the person. And it comes out of really the Jesuits, their training in terms as they're preparing for this way of life, if you will. They are, you know, they have different people walking with them, and it's usually a 12, almost 15 year journey, right, in preparation. And that whole preparatory process is geared towards the individual. So what are the individual's particular needs to help them flourish, help them be their best selves, right? And so in many ways, that's, I think I'm part of that cura personalis team in athletics. And so even in the last 3 years, my position's come on board, the chaplain for athletics. You know, we have a you know, full-time sports psychologist, along with now another full-time person just hired within the last month, and then another part-time person. And then actually within the last year, executive director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then other folks who work in our academic side too. So there's a lot of these specialists, if you will, mm-hmm. within athletics that are trying to really support, again, this cura personalis, the care of the whole person individually, team-wise, and then as a department. And so, yeah, since I, you know, came on board, just such a gift to be able to be received, right? And I think some people when I came on board were like, oh, well, the chaplain for athletics, we'll be on the bench, you know, praying for wins. Well, I
not
gave that,
what
I,
you do.
Yeah, I gave that up in college. That didn't work at all for me. So I figured I'm not going to try that on anybody else. No, but seriously, it was, you know, it's been a gift just to be invited into spaces, and whether it's with, you know, coaches, whether it's with teams, whether it's with the, you know, the department or staff, and just to walk alongside them in this journey through life, particularly with this mindset of what are the needs for each individual? Like, for example, you know, one of our coaches, you know, during COVID, you know, the team wasn't playing and, you know, some really challenging time, as you know, right? And imagine the athletic world, some just day-to-day choices have been really difficult. And so this coach was able to walk with what's called the spiritual exercises. So a 10-month journey, we did this online, and the coach spent about an hour a day in reflection. For him, this was prayer. And then meeting with me once a week. And to do that over 10 months, in light of his position as a coach at Georgetown, in light of our larger mission as a Ignatian institution. And then I was privileged to be able to walk alongside him in the midst of a really, really difficult year. So I use that as an example of a space that I was able to show up in light of our larger tradition at Georgetown and the commitment within the athletic department.
Yeah. Well, I imagine, I don't want to speak for him, but I imagine if Tim were here, something that he would kind of pick up on, because he comments on it often with the folks we talk with, is the importance of the whole athlete concept of looking at someone as a person. And I think, you know, that is kind of an important perspective to bring, I think, into athletics, because so often we're just looking at output, you know, or just the end product, the wins, as you said. And it's really neat to hear how your work is really integrating this larger school mission. It sounds like to really look at the whole person, right? To look at the whole athlete and not just look at performance, but look at all these different ways that you can show up and be supportive of them. You know, like you said, during the pandemic, which has been a really, really hard time for everybody. And it's certainly been felt acutely in college sport.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Keith. And even the meditation we, you know, shared there, right? Just the space of being, right? And as athletes and as coaches and staff, and there's so much of the push to do. And so the space to try to, you know, just, and again, might be a 10-second just stillness practice, or it might be 2 minutes, or it might be a longer session, but just to help almost, you know, I talk about the strength in that muscle of being, you know, and sometimes we know it's hard to even create that space, let alone accept it when we're in it.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is a good segue, you mentioning that. So before we started recording, one of the things we were talking about a little bit is this idea of translation. And that was absolutely something that I know Tim and I really wanted to talk to you about because of this unique role that you inhabit. And so maybe we can just explore that a little bit. Like you talk about the space of being and how, you know, you can kind of do that within this sort of contrast of sport culture and how that requires a certain amount of translation, right? Like it's a doing world, athletics, and here you're bringing the space of being. But even more so or differently than someone like us, right? Like our MSPE work and a lot of the work that's done like in the mindfulness space in mainstream psychology really tries to separate itself a little bit from spirituality, right? To really secularize itself. And I think there's some tension in that, right? Because we do come from spiritual traditions when we're doing mindfulness practice. And I think there's dangers or potential risks in separating those things out completely. And obviously with your background and with your mission, what you're trying to achieve, I just imagine that must be a very complicated needle for you to thread. I don't know if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. It complicated needle to thread. That's a good way to describe it. especially when it comes out of, I mean, for myself, it comes out of over 20 years of practice, particularly of a particular tradition. So it comes out of, for me, a spiritual practice tied to, let's say, the Christian tradition of meditation. But even that tradition comes out of, right, a deep, deep history of a Dharmic life tradition, right, of meditation, where it's really steep within a way of life. And so even myself stepping into this space, let's say here at Georgetown, you know, where we are, like I said, Christian, Catholic, Jesuit, but also we're open to a home, open to all. And, you know, I see Dr. Brahmacharya Charan, you know, on a regular basis, who is, you know, leads our Dharmic life community here at Georgetown, and a community that is steeped, most of the community, right, in terms of practice, in meditation. And so I have to be clear of, like, when I'm walking with athletics, let's just say with a team, that I am authentic with where I'm showing up in light of this larger tradition that I'm a part of. And so, for instance, you know, when I'm walking with our student athlete advisory committee, you know, we have about 4 meditations that we'll have coming up in the next month, a month or two. And I will, you know, create some space for them really to go deeper in terms of what's alive in their hearts now, maybe what they've been going through in the last week or two, and you know, what's they're looking forward to in terms of, you know, being their best selves, if you will. I will create a space, you know, for those who enter into the space with a spiritual tradition or religious background and want to enter into that, invite you to acknowledge that, to honor that space. And so I'm not going to excuse it, but I'm also going to, you know, at least provide the opportunity if that's where, let's say, a student athlete is on his or her own or their journey. So that needle is, whether it's for an individual or for a team or for the department, it's a tapestry, as you've said, in terms of the needle that it's just being open, right? It's really being open to where is this going to particularly be authentic for this individual, this person, this team, but also, you know, speak to the integrity of our institution and our tradition.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder as I'm listening to you and really the larger frame that you're providing for how Georgetown operates and what the idea of your work really is, you know, if there is just more of an openness to that in your environment, like I know that with some of the work that we do, we have to be really sensitive to that, that, you know, we're not preaching religion. We're not trying to, you know, teach any particular spiritual tradition, that we are trying to do this in a secular way. And yet it does come from a spiritual past. And so it's a real balancing act, because you can't just sever those things completely, right? There's something that gets lost if you remove it completely from its spiritual context. And yet, you know, if you're working with a group of athletes, I guess in our case, like on performance enhancement, you know, that's a very different kind of mission than coming at it from more of a spiritual one, perhaps. If you experience that tension, if you find that, you know, people are sensitive that, oh, you're trying to teach me something that isn't my religion or isn't from my spiritual tradition, or you know, if you ever find yourself going the other way of feeling like, gosh, man, I'm you know, maybe I'm trying to lean in more of a performance direction or more of an athletic direction, and I'm not sure how I feel about, you know, separating from that spiritual part. It must be so interesting having to navigate that.
Yeah. Again, Keith, great. This needle, threading the needle is unique. maybe an example here would be, you know, we're looking forward to walking, you know, with you and your colleagues with, you know, the Mindful Sports Performance Enhancement Program, you know, bringing you all in and working with, you know, 10 or 12 of our staff members and coaches. And as we have looked at stepping forward into that space, like, so for me as chaplain for athletics, or let's say mission integrator, right? I think that's another title that I would probably fall under, if you will. But it's to work alongside, you know, our sports psychologist and their team, and really our executive director for our diversity, equity, and inclusion, and really bringing the three of us together and really looking at, well, what is, again, what's the mission of Georgetown? What's the vision of athletic department and mission of that department? And then how can we really step into the space that you all provide, but in light of all these different threads, if you will, because we really want this practice, again, and even if we look at, you know, the sports performance on the field, what does that mean? We really want people to show up as student athletes, their whole selves, mind, body, spirit, but also form. You look at a place like Georgetown where, you know, community and diversity, you know, where justice is not something that we just talk about, you know, that we are actually called to daily labor for. And so, you know, we want our student athletes somehow in their time in the 4 years at Georgetown or more, to really tap into that space. So if we look at this program in particular, where we have an opportunity, if this is helping us and go deeper in the sense of who we are, and for some, maybe whose we are, and that space can help us towards this path of flourishing. Wow. I mean, the fact that we can bring and hold these threads together, look at the tapestry that's possible.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, what I guess I'm curious, like what you're seeing with that, I guess 3 years in, I don't know, you know, if you guys, if research is a part of what you do or how you're sort of looking at the impact of this work, but because it is so unique and I mean, just fascinating, like what are you seeing in terms of how it's helping or not?
Yes, we're systematically, we would love to get there. Right, I think that's a long-term goal, and I think our work with you will be exciting to really programmatically, you know, take a next step. I think, you know, right now because of limited resources, you know, I might work with a team, or I might work with a certain smaller group of student athletes, and then on the sports psychology side too, Dr. Erica Force has worked with a couple of our teams in particular, and has a good background here as well, and. Is a great colleague to work with in this field. And so I think we're looking at really maybe just continuing to systematically both reflect on our experience and what we've had so far, what's been helpful, what's not been helpful. And then obviously say working with, you know, folks like yourselves to help us really dig in a little bit more with a research-based, you know, program. And one of our coaches 2 years ago went through one of your trainings and absolutely loved it. And then when she came back, I was working with her and her team in the first couple of sessions, and just so much fun to see her background in the field of mindfulness, her passion to accompany her team in this practice, for her to go to the training, then to go back and to see it in action, and then to hear the student athletes coming back and talking about how much they were really fed by the practice and the way of life, if you will. And then hearing some different stories too, from either the coach or some student athletes, of how important it was on the field, both before and during competition and after, was really exciting. So I think for us, it's going to be reflect on where we've been. Let's look at resources like yourselves, and then let's see what's possible going forward.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that. It's always, you know, we love doing our instructor training program. And I recall the coach you're referring to. It's so neat to hear what ended up transpiring when she went back and implemented that. That's great. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to put you on the spot with this question, but again, just curious, like even just anecdotally, like what you've observed in terms of impact and what you've seen, again, being in this really unique space. And maybe too, I mean, am I remembering, you have a background in athletics yourself, right? Were you a college athlete? Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I didn't think I was making that up. It's like, I knew that at some point.
Well, maybe I'll give you an example of, you know, and I work with our football team and a variety of our teams, right? But I'll often tell the story with our football team before we do a meditation. You know, it was a student athlete in college, you know, played football at Yale for 4 years. I was a captain my senior year. It was the last game of the season, last game of my career. It was out of 35,000 people or so. It was at home against Harvard in the bowl. And the last 2 minutes of the game, you know, we had just scored. So I'm a defensive player, defensive back. Pretty clear. Our job is to hold the offense. Don't let them score. We win. We go home. I'm feeling pretty good, you know, 20 some odd years later. Well, that wasn't the case. They had a couple passes. Before you know it, they're within the 20-yard line and it's about a minute left. And as a defensive back, you know, I'm playing man-to-man defense and I'm about 7 yards off. It's pretty clear. And quarterbacks, you know, calling the play, receivers in front of me, 7 yards off. And I look at the quarterback, and as I look at the quarterback, I take a step back. And that step back, with that step, was, wow, I hope they don't throw it my way. Mm. So here I was, the kind of the culmination of my athletic career, the last 2 minutes of my career, and that was the mindset. I hope they don't throw it my way. They didn't that play, but they ended up scoring eventually, and Harvard won. So I sit with that memory, and I often will share that with teams, and particularly I share with the football team often as a football, I'm a football player, and of inviting them to the space of, you know, our best self, our most authentic self, our the flow, right, in the zone where we are fully mind, body, and for some spirit, you know, in that space to then take that step up. What would have been like if I'd have been like, all right, I'm going to take one more step up and say, bring it my way. Let's see what happens. And then, you know, I share that story a few times with our football program, and we actually had the entire team in a one space, along with our head coach's father was there too. And he told me afterwards, like, look, you said you're going to do 15 minutes of silence. I'm like, this guy's crazy. What's he going to do here? And it was fascinating, you know, to see and to be in the space where the team really held, you know, 15 minutes of centering down, of stillness, if you will. And this place of being, you know, to almost to practice that muscle of being. And so that was really very early on when I came in on board in athletics. And for me, I think sort of a guiding light, you know, to listen to, as I've continued now with student athletes and teams and coaches and staff, to provide certain spaces where, again, there's a space where, we can create for our community, you know, to be their best selves in light of our tradition at Georgetown, you know, that's on the outside of our building. This is the greater glory of God, AMDG. And one of the Jesuits, I love his translation is get just that authentic human flourishing. When I ask the question of our department, is anybody not about that? It's pretty clear that I think that's at the center of what we do each and every day. So that's one example, at least of how it's sort of playing out in my day to day.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that personal anecdote. And it really resonates with me too. I know so many athletes I work with, it does come down to this sort of leaning back versus leaning in, right? This I have one athlete who talks about it as like shell mode. I really like that terminology. You know, you think about kind of going into your shell, please don't throw it to me. And how really it's like a protective mechanism, right? We're trying to keep ourselves from failing, perhaps. But really what you're doing is hamstringing your performance. And so I know in our work, like in our MSPE work, or certainly in my private practice, you know, we often talk about the idea of vulnerability, right? The idea of being able to kind of lean into those moments that are objectively scary, right? You're talking about the last, I mean, it's you could make a movie about that stuff, right? Like the last few minutes of my football career against our arch rival, you know, they're driving, they're in the red zone, and you know, where is my head at? It's hard to think of a more vulnerable moment than that. And I wonder, like, and like how much that stuff comes up. And I could imagine spirituality really lending itself to those kinds of conversations. And that's not an angle that we typically take, like in our more secularized mindfulness approach. You know, how you let go in a moment like that.
Absolutely, Keith. Yeah, right. You know, how do you let go, and who's with you, right? For, and again, depending on what tradition someone comes from or steps into, and you know, that the reality that we're not alone in that. And I often, you know, when I tell that story to an individual, maybe, and I know his or her background or the background, I might, and, you know, create some space there. Like, well, you know, what would have been like if both I took the step up, you know, and I knew that I wasn't alone in taking that step up. Right. You know, I think, you know, and that's the part that I at least in terms of Georgetown and in this particular position in athletics, you know, I'm grateful. And part of my role too, is to really connect the athletic department with mission and ministry. So let's say a student athlete comes up and they're going down this path, and tradition and the religious or spiritual tradition is really important to them. Well, I might connect them with one of our chaplaincies, you know, to have some more conversations. Even maybe not, may not always be me, but we've got, you know, a phenomenal commitment at Georgetown in campus ministry and mission and ministry to, you know, meaning, belonging, and purpose. And those three, you know, parts of the student's journey here at Georgetown. And so it's fun too, to be able to connect individuals, you know, with our chaplaincies to go deeper with some of those questions and identities, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it's such a powerful part of being an athlete, right? I mean, it really is about identity. And every time we step out on the field, that's on the line. And it's hard. It's hard to not then want to play defense against that, you know? And I think it's cool. Like, again, what it sounds like you're saying is how you can take a whole person approach to that, which I think is different than how, like, a lot of coaches out there, maybe especially, you know, at a place not like Georgetown, where they don't have those kinds of resources or don't have that kind of mentality where, you know, maybe the approach is more like, you know, just do it, right? Or like, what's wrong with you? Or even I was talking to an athlete yesterday who was saying, you know, just fearing how teammates are going to respond if they try and they fail, you know? And so I guess that's another element too I wanted to ask you about, is just what kind of impact you see in your work around not just the individual, but also like cohesion and culture and the dynamics, how teammates interact with each other.
Yeah. Thanks, Keith. And right, that team dynamic, right, in terms of what does a practice like this, or what does like mindfulness. And again, even when I say that, I guess the word that I would use, and I've been coming to this recently, we'll see. Again, this is where it'd be fun to work with you all. And we've been calling it Ignatian zonefulness. You know, Ignatian meaning the sense of our Ignatian tradition at Georgetown, and then the zone side of our being, you know, in flow and in the zone, and obviously the mindfulness reality of, you know, so that's just a sort of a phrase that, you know, that's been coming to us recently, and, you know, in holding that with the entire department, you know, and maybe I guess I would say this, and, you know, this is beyond the student athlete to really our coaches and staff. So prior to COVID, you know, we were in person, and, you know, we had a good number of coaches and staff and administrators who would show up to, you know, twice a week. We had a space, you know, in athletics where individual would come, and we would spend 20 minutes of centering down. Mm-hmm. This is in the middle of the day, you know, for administrators, we're making pretty intense decisions to say, look, I want to be in this space together, you know, and then actually we moved to online when we transitioned, well, almost 2 years ago now, we transitioned online for a while.
Crazy, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so now I'm hearing, you know, the desire amongst coaches and staff to can we create that space again now that we're coming back in person? And so I want to share that with the beyond the student athlete to the coaches and staff and administrators in the space that they're holding, really a desire for the opportunity, even in the workday, right, to set aside time to, in some ways, strengthen this muscle of being, and then hopefully has ripple effects as we accompany our student athletes.
Yeah, I mean, that really resonates with me. You know, something we talk about a lot with MSPE is integration, and not just working on an individual or even a team athlete level, but also, you know, the stakeholders, right? The administrators, the coaches, trying to get everyone, you know, what we often speak about is like speaking the same language. And it really does have to be like a complete, you know, everyone pulling together to really see that kind of shift. And so it sounds like you've seen that, you've seen the power in that. And did you have, I guess, I'm sure it changed from in person to virtual, but did you have a number of takers? Did you have a good representation of coaches coming to those sessions?
Yes. And online too, we had it for a good while. And even student athletes who then reached out, mostly through our student athlete advisory committee, you know, to host some stuff online. And then individual teams, we would host some meditations and for individual teams, which was nice. I should also mention too, that you know, part of the commitment of Georgetown, you know, President DeGioia, almost 20 years ago, committed to a space on campus. It's actually part of my other role of the John Main Center for Meditation and Interreligious Dialogue. So the designated space in the middle of campus, it's a beautiful space. It's Anne Marie Beecraft Hall that even during, you know, our virtual experience was hosting over 20 meditations a week.
Wow.
You know, for our entire community, not just students, but staff and faculty and our chief of police, you know, is a regular part of that community.
Wow.
And so I think particularly as a university too, you know, to say, look, we want to designate a place for us to go deeper in the sense of who and for some whose we are through practice, right? And a practice that's within community has really been a gift that is at many levels of Georgetown and our mission.
Yeah. Does it feel to you, and maybe I'm coming at this too much from a sport angle, but does it feel to you like you guys are miles ahead of of other places? Because, I mean, obviously I don't know everywhere, but this level of integration, this level of participation, you're talking about like police officers, right? Just people from all over campus life who are voluntarily participating in this kind of thing. It blows my mind.
Yeah, and I should, you know, qualify that a bit in the sense of, right, I think what I appreciate is one of the Jesuits I was talking with, it's at a particular time, it's on an individual or team's time, right? And I think this is the gift of coming at it from an Ignatian lens, almost, if you will, that there's freedom, right? There's freedom in this, in the sense of when is this the right time for an individual, for a team, for a department, or for a community? Right. And I think that's, at least I want to be very clear that this is the word, you said the word integrated, right? And I think there's a lot of, you know, it happens in pockets, it happens with individuals, maybe some teams. And again, I think we meet the community where they're at and walk day to day in the midst of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, I mean, your role, obviously your roles on campus, you have multiple roles on campus and also just, you know, how much sort of institutional cooperation there seems to be around this. It's inspiring. I think it is pretty unique and it's been really cool to hear just a little bit about what you do. So we do unfortunately have to bring the conversation to a close, but I wonder, you know, for any of our listeners who might want to learn a little bit more about the work that you do you mentioned the John Main Center, of course, you know, your work in the athletics department. Any places you can direct them to get more information about what's going on at Georgetown?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Keith. You know, so our website, we've got a good amount of information there about either whether it's the chaplaincy position in athletics. My email is on there. So feel free to reach out to me through there. And then also it's a way in through the John Main Center as well. I mean, there's a really good, strong connection between the center and athletics. Yeah, feel free to reach out to me through our athletic webpage. Email is on there. TM1304 at georgetown.edu. Pretty simple. I'm even happy to talk with you individually or just kind of connect and really to have a conversation. I think you mentioned early on, Keith, in this of this work of translation. And I think really that's my most important piece of the puzzle here of just committing day to day to the translation, but trying to do it in an authentic way with a practice that's way bigger than me, way bigger than even parts of the experience that I even know now. So grateful to be part of the conversation here and look forward to the conversation around translation with you and others as we go forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's really well said, and certainly feel like a kindred spirit in that way. I can really empathize. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again, Tony, for joining us. And for those who might want to connect with us, with our MSP Institute, there's lots of ways that you can do that. We have a website, which is www.mindfulsportperformance.org. We also have a Facebook page for our institute. Our podcast also has some social media. You can connect with us on Instagram at @mindful_sport_podcast. We also have a YouTube channel where we post our meditations that begin each of our episodes. And we've got a nice library going there. If you just want to do some free practices online, you can check out our YouTube channel. And so hopefully Tony is okay if we use his silence practice from earlier. As I said, it would be a unique addition to our audio space. So
absolutely,
we appreciate that. And you can also connect with me, Dr. Keith Kaufman, on Twitter. My handle is @mindfulsportdoc. And we just want to take a moment and also thank our team behind the scenes, our wonderful producer, Taylor Brown of EnduroMind, and our colleague, Dr. Carol Glass, for all of her support of the podcast. And of course, if you're looking for additional resources, we also have our book on MSPE, Mindful Sport Performance Enhancement, Mental Training for Athletes and Coaches. And we are always very open and happy to get reviews of both our podcast and our book, if you are so inclined. So thank you so much again to Tony, and thank you to everyone who listened, and we will see you next time.
Thanks again.